It's time to get your news on. We are VK1WIA.
And we have the news for week commencing September 22 in the good year 2024 on this week. WIA AR Magazine's Editor-in-Chief Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH, plus POTA, SOTA and YOTA news. Now wait, there is much more, much, much more in this edition of news from your Wireless Institute of Australia. I'm Editor Graham, VK4BB.
Australia's ham radio news station. We are VK1WIA.
Dudes, this is Editor-in-Chief of Elder Radio Magazine, Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH. This week, I have some good news and some sad news. First, the sad news. I was informed the other day that Pete Williams, VK3IZ, became a silent key this past week. He was 94. Securing his license immediately post-World War II, Pete became a stalwart of the WIA over many years, serving in roles with both the Victorian Division and Federal WIA across the 1960s and 70s, working with the late Michael Owen, VK3KI. He was also involved in the early Region 3 organisation of the International Amateur Radio Union and with the Victorian Wireless Institute Civil Emergency Network, aka WISEN. During the mid-1970s, in company with a couple of amateur radio colleagues, he co-founded the Vicom Company, which imported Icom radios and a host of other ham radio products. Vicom became a consistent advertiser in amateur radio magazine, not to mention a number of industry and retail magazines of which I was editor. You'll be able to read more about him in AR Magazine, Issue 6. Vale, Pete Williams, VK3IZ. Thanks to Dave Williams, VK3YIZ. So, now to the good news, which is that issue number 5 of AR Magazine rolled off the press at Bairnsdale last Wednesday, on time and under budget. Look out for the issue landing late next week, in your letterbox, your post office box, or at your local newsagent. The theme for this soon-to-arrive issue is, as promised, a do-it-yourself special. There are 30 pages, count them when you get your magazine. Who said hams don't build stuff anymore? Or worse, that we publish stuff that, quote, nobody's ever going to build, end quote. Issue 5 features, for example, an article on a practical transverter for 241 to 250 gigs. That's our top band. Back down the spectrum, we have an antenna matching unit for balanced feed point antennas, and you can build it with discarded and repurposed parts. Does your rig include Charlie India-Victor or CIV control? For Icom rig owners, we have an article on commanding your Icom rig with a simple Arduino-based keyboard interface. You might repurpose an old PS2 keyboard. That will do for now. Amateur Radio Magazine, Issue 5. More guts, less gab, no butchers. Serving Australian amateurs for over 90 years. Proudly produced and printed in Australia. Also available online. Always published to a schedule, never random. I'm Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH, for VK1WIA News.
Australiana. Internet breach numbers across Australia hit a three-year high. Government was the second most breached sector in Australia during the first 6 months of 2024, reporting 63 incidents in total. The Office of the Australian Information Commissioner recorded 44 malicious or criminal attacks on government agencies, with the majority of these, 41, caused by impersonation or social engineering. One cyber incident was recorded in the six-month period and two breaches were attributed to a rogue employee or insider threat. Meanwhile, the government reported 17 breaches caused by human error and two from a system fault. The OAIC's rules mostly apply to federal agencies, although some state and territory breaches could be present in its numbers if a breach impacted a Commonwealth credential, such as a tax file number. The latest figures for the first half of 2024 represent a 65% increase for the government sector compared to the previous period. And the majority of breaches, around 87%, took more than 30 days to identify. Education. On the education front, learn the subtle art of ballon building. The next Amateur Radio New South Wales Buildathon will be Sunday, October 13 at Dural. After previous Ballon Buildathons, ARNSW received requests to include some Ballon accessories, so this will be a Ballons and More Buildathon. Along with the kit suitable to make either 1-to-1 or 4-to-1 Ballons, there are parts available to make something to connect to your Ballon. Kedron cord antenna wire will be available. Of course, this wire is lighter than solid core copper wire and stronger too. It can be used to make dipoles and many other kinds of wire antenna. Participants are requested to bring their own hand tools and soldering stations, if they have them, although a small number will be available for shared use. Ballon kits and wire must be pre-ordered, but you can pay for your items on the day. So to register your interest, email ARNSW. Also on the education front, DDARC's 14 October meeting will feature another How to Do It session, and they're talking makers. John tells us more.
We've invited Toowoomba's maker queen, Steph Piper, head of the UniSQ Makerspace and a leader in Australia's wearable electronics maker community. Steph will show us how 3D printing works and what we can do with it. Steph Piper is one of an emerging breed of technologists. Steph is focused on how to merge creative arts and electronics, and she's passionate about passing important skills to kids. Steph also creates soldering kits that help introduce people to the world of electronics. You might just take away an inspirational idea for a birthday or Christmas present for the younger people in your family. Come along to the Darling Downs Radio Club's next monthly meeting at 1900 on 14th of October at the Toowoomba Library. Everyone is welcome. I'm John, VK4JPM, Secretary of the Darling Downs Radio Club, and I'd love to say hi to you at the meeting.
Thanks, John, and we'll have more on this gathering during Q News from VK4WA, straight after WIA National News. Now, a little housekeeping, submitting news items. If you'd like to submit news items, and we'd love you to, for possible inclusion in these VK1WIA broadcasts, email your item in text to nationalnews@wia.org.au and don't just send URLs, links or posters. Take the time to pen your contribution as you'd expect to hear it. But we are an audio news service, so unless you only operate FT8, microphones at the ready, and these days all mobile phones have an audio recorder, as 75% of our correspondents use. To submit audio, email nationalnews@wia.org.au and send both the audio and text. Now, we would appreciate items certainly no longer than 1.5 minutes, as we only have that half hour. And remember, the sooner you submit material, the more the likelihood of it being broadcast in your very next edition of WIA National News. But each recorded item will only be broadcast once. If you want a couple of mentions, submit different slants to keep your event fresh. And always, if the newsroom is to read your item, write it in the third person. First, if you're reading your own item, and if you're mentioning your own name, call sign in the story, say something like, "And myself, Pat, VK11ABC.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now with international news, Jason, VK2LAW.
Hello. Leading this week's international news, August edition of the IARU Monitoring System newsletter. The August edition of the IARU Monitoring System Region 1 newsletter features reports of new intruder activity on the 10-metre band. The report cites erratic behaviour of military radar-type signals that make it hard to avoid on the band. Normally a quiet month in radio terms, radar-based intruders continued to dominate reports across all bands monitored. The reports provide detailed insights regarding intruders on the amateur radio bands and offer details of what to look out for. You can download the newsletter as well as previous editions from the Monitoring System Region 1 page on iaru-r1.org. The BBC is looking to make its podcasts and other content delivered via BBC Sounds more accessible to people who are deaf or have hard of hearing issues. To achieve this, the broadcaster is turning to generative AI technology. Beginning on August 29, 2024, the BBC brings subtitling to the BBC Sounds app for a three-month trial. According to a blog post from Anna Rudd-Dimry, head of product for BBC Sounds, manually captioning the 27,000 hours of content produced monthly for BBC Sounds would be both time-consuming and prohibitively expensive. Instead, Dimri wrote, "We've been looking at whether AI can help us add high-quality, accurate subtitles to our audio content. BBC is using Whisper AI, an automatic speech recognition system." Exploding pages, RF activated. From Beirut, pages used by hundreds of members of the militant group Hezbollah exploded near simultaneously in Lebanon and Syria on Tuesday, killing at least 9 people and wounding several thousand, officials said. Hezbollah and the Lebanese government blamed Israel for what appeared to be a sophisticated remote attack. The pages that blew up had apparently been acquired by Hezbollah after the group's leader ordered members in February to stop using cell phones, warning that they could be tracked by Israeli intelligence. A Hezbollah official told the Associated Press the pages were a new brand, but declined to say how long they'd been in use. How did the pages explode? Well, we still don't know. Some speculation has focused on the radio network that pages rely on, suggesting that it may have been hacked, causing the system to emit a signal that triggered a response within the already doctored pages. To Holland, the 2024 IBC show, which has just wrapped up at the RAI Amsterdam, saw about a 5% increase over the 2023 event. The International Broadcasting Convention, more commonly known by its initials IBC, is an annual trade show held in September at the RAI Exhibition and Convention Centre in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. IBC announced that 45,085 visitors from 170 countries converged on the RAI Amsterdam during the show, which ran from September 13 to 16. This year's show addressed soaring interest in trends such as AI's leap from theory to real-world applications, how the industry is fighting disinformation in news, and the need to foster talent and diversity across media, entertainment, and technology. Look up in the sky. US scientists in the Space Weather Prediction Center of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration are collaborating with the National Weather Service to update the way solar storms and other space weather is classified. According to an article on the space.com website, the scientists recognize that new knowledge about geomagnetic storms and recent advances in technology require them to revisit the way they look at space weather and its impact on the Earth and human space travel. The Space Weather's Prediction Center's program coordinator Bill Murtagh explained the need for change during an interview with Space.com, saying the user base and needs have changed, the capabilities, the science and our understanding of the science, a lot has changed, and the scales for all practical purposes have not changed and they need to. Some current scale categories for geomagnetic storms reflect impact on power grids and spacecraft operations, for instance, and others focus on the radio blackouts that have a serious impact on HF radio and navigation systems. Only a week ago, a powerful solar flare spat out from the sun sparked radio blackouts across South America and the mid-Atlantic Ocean. The sunspot responsible for the very strong X4.5 class flare, named Sunspot AR3825, also ejected a large plume of solar plasma, which headed in the direction of Earth. When this coronal mass ejection, CME, hits the atmosphere, it was expected to spark G3 class geomagnetic storms, leading to the northern lights being visible as far south as California, Missouri, and Colorado. Again, according to spaceweather.com. For VK1WIA National News, in Sydney, I'm Jason, VK2LAW.
We are VK1WIA. Now, operational news with VK4FUQ, Felix.
Hello there. Now, contest-wise, 2024. First up, some very important news for those who took part in last month's Alara contest.
Hi, this is Leslie, VK5LOL, the Alara contest manager. I just wish to remind you that all logs from the 44th Alara contest need to reach me before the end of this month, the 30th of September. Looking forward to receiving your logs. This has been Leslie, VK5LOL, for the WIA National Broadcast.
Thanks, Leslie. Now on to forthcoming tests. Oceania Dex contest. Dates, times. Phone the first 4 week in October each year from 0600 hours UTC Saturday to 0600 hours UTC Sunday. CW. The second 4 week in October each year from 0600 hours UTC Saturday to 0600 hours UTC Sunday. Log deadline for all phone and CW logs 31 October. This year's contest will be held on October the 5th and 12th respectively. International Earth Moon Earth Contest. 0000 hours UTC on Saturday through 2359 UTC Sunday. 2.3 GHz and up this weekend, September 21, 22. 50 to 1296 MHz October 19 and 20 and November 16 and 17. Work as many amateur stations as possible via the Earth Moon Earth path on any authorized amateur frequency in the bands for these specific weekends. EME logs due back to the ARRL on December 17. VHF-UHF field day, upcoming contest date and time. Spring 2024, 0100 hours UTC Saturday 23 November through 0059 UTC Sunday 24 November. 0400, 0359 and VK6. Yoda contest, youth on the air. Contest 3 through will be from 10 hours to 2159 hours UTC on 29 December. On the 5 Classic bands CW and SSB. Dick's Window to the World, Greenland. This weekend only. Henning, OZ2I, informs that he will be active from Greenland as XP2I during September 2022. Actual Kitty H is Black Ridge, about 200 metres above sea level. Grid, GP47PA. 8 to 10 metres, maybe 160, CW only. QSL XP2I via LOTW, Club Log OQRS. Somalia. A group of operators are active as 603T from northern Somalia all month till September 30 on 160 to 6 metres using CW, SSB and digital modes. QSL 603T via operating instructions. Fiji. 3D2MA until September 23 on 40 to 10 metres using FT8. QSL 3D2MA via home call VK3BDL. Tanzania. 5H3MB until October 11. Operators are volunteer at the Aikilo Hospital, so spare time only QSOs. HF using CW, SSB and Digi. QSL 5H3MB via home call IK2GZU, Bureau or Direct or LOTW. For VK1WIA National News, I'm Felix VK4FUQ Inning.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now, special interest group news with VK3GTV, Cole.
Hello, first up in worldwide special interest groups, it's Final Frontier. AMSAT Oscar 7, soon to celebrate its 50th birthday on November the 15th, is now in a period of continuous sunlight through until May 2027. While in continuous sunlight, the satellite's internal timer is expected to switch between the two transponders. Mode A, 29 MHz downlink and 145 MHz uplink, and Mode B, 145 MHz downlink and 29 MHz uplink every 24 hours. Not as old, but further afield than Oscar 7, is Voyager 1. After 47 years, it's little wonder that the hydrazine-powered thrusters of the Voyager 1, used to orient the spacecraft in such a way that its 3.7-metre diameter antenna always points back towards Earth, are getting somewhat clogged up. As a result, the team has now switched back to the thrusters which they originally retired back in 2018. The Voyager spacecraft each have three sets of thrusters. Two sets were originally intended for attitude propulsion and one for trajectory correction maneuvers. But since leaving the solar system many years ago, Voyager 1's navigational needs have become more basic, allowing all three sets to be used effectively interchangeably. Unlike a few decades ago, the spacecraft is much colder due to energy-conserving methods, complicating the switching of thruster sets. Switching on a cold thruster set could damage it, so it had to be warmed up first with its thruster heaters. The conundrum was where to temporarily borrow power from. Ultimately, a main heater was turned off for an hour, allowing the thruster swap to take place and allowing Voyager 1 to breathe a bit more freely for now. Compared to the recent scare involving Voyager 1, where NASA thought that its computer systems may have died, this matter probably feels more routine to the team in charge. But with a spacecraft that's the furthest removed man-made spacecraft in outer space, nothing is ever truly routine. Worldwide Special Interest Group News, Summits on the Air, Worldwide Flora and Fauna Program, Parks on the Air, and other adventure groups. A new jewel in SOTA Queen's Crown. Our first story in the topic is about SOTA, Summits on the Air, and the achievement that became possible for 1YO, in memory of another. We hear about them both from Ralph Squalacci, KK6ITB.
In a recent posting on the SOTA Reflector, Amy, AG7GP, shared a thought from Ron Burns, NR3E, as he described his late wife's can-do attitude. Ron and his wife, Liz, K1LIZ, shared many challenging SOTA activations and hunts. Liz, who was blind for more than 3 decades, had recently achieved the coveted SOTA standing of Mountain Goat. The organizers of the inaugural Queens of the Mountains YL SOTA event this past June have added a new jewel to the crown of one queen of those same mountains. They call the honor the K1LIZ Memorial Achievement Award. It was conferred recently on Lorene, W6LOR. Announcing the honor on the SOTA Reflector in a September 7th post, Amy, AG7GP, praised Lorene for her events during that June weekend. Queen Lorene's glass is not half full. It is brimming over with the spirit of a beloved fellow activator who knew that summits were never meant to be hurdles, only opportunities to showcase excellence. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
Thanks, Ralph. Now it's over to Marty, VK4KC, pottering on from a park near you.
From Monday the 14th to Sunday the 20th of October, we have a special event called Australia and New Zealand Coast to Coast Pota. It's like a park fest, but without coming together in one location. Here are 3 ideas for activators to consider for the Coast to Coast week. First, make an effort to activate a few parks during this week. Perhaps some may like to do a rove, which is activating a minimum of 5 parks in a 24-hour period. Secondly, invite another ham operator or operators to go out and activate with you, perhaps even an overnight camp at a park on the final weekend, which is the Support Your Parks weekend for October. Finally, you could team up with someone who is not licensed. This may be the trigger that ignites their desire to become a ham radio operator. There will be a special participation certificate for activators and hunters who make POTA contacts during this special POTA event. For more information, contact Marty, VK4KC, or Alan, VK1AO, whose email addresses are on their QRZ pages. This is Marty, VK4KC, saying, POTA on.
Thanks, Marty. Next up, it's Worldwide Special Interest Group's Maritime. Defence is looking for a cost-effective way to use Starlink to improve the quality of life of personnel serving on its roughly 50 Australian naval vessels. The project, which is expected to run for about 2 years, would cover the acquisition, integration and installation of new hardware, software and network infrastructure. The Enhanced Quality of Life Internet Rollout Program aims to upgrade the Australian Navy's current onboard systems by providing enhanced ship-to-shore connectivity for personnel at sea, transforming their ability to maintain contact with their families, communities and administrative resources while deployed. Also under exploration is an internet service that can support content from platforms such as Netflix and Foxtel, though not live streaming. Worldwide Special Interest Group's Military, The Jungle's Alive, with DX. Listen and work PZ5JT this October and November during a jungle training exercise of the Royal Dutch Army from Suriname. The Suriname station is manned by personnel from the Signal Regiment, on 40, 20, 17, 15 and 10 metres using SSB. PZ5JT will be using in-service military radios, L3 Harris, from different locations, but most of the time from the main command post. Keep your ears open for a special stroke M or stroke P from more challenging locations. That jungle radio call again, PZ5JT. Worldwide Special Interest Group's Radio Amateur Youngtimers, YOTA, And with the latest Yota news, it's over to Alec, VK2MV.
Thank you, Cole. New youth have joined our wonderful hobby. A couple weekends ago, ARNSW and Waverley Amateur Radio Club held a training course at Dural. A total of 14 people attended, with one being an upgrade. What is extra special about this course is six attendees were Yota, one being 10 years old, another 9, and our youngest attendee was 7 years old. We had a 100% pass rate, which means all of our Yotas are now new members of the hobby. Congratulations and welcome aboard. I will write more for AR Magazine. Now, over to the RSGB, who are looking for the next volunteer youth champion. This could be one role or split between people who focus on different aspects of it. The youth champion will work closely with RSGB board Lyerson, Ben Lloyd, GW4BML, and the RSGB outreach team to ignite interest, develop links with schools, universities, scouts, guides, and the general public. They will also help to support current young amateurs and motivate them to try new things within amateur radio after they gain their license. Attention to all our amateurs who are connected with some way with scouts. As you may be aware, Jamboree on the Air and Jamboree on the Internet, otherwise known as Jota Jotty, is on the weekend of 18th to 20th of October. This year's theme is Scouts for a Greener World. If you're a licensed radio amateur operator and wish to join the Scouts New South Wales network, please contact Scouts New South Wales Jota Jotty coordinator Chris Horn. His email address is in our text version of the news. For more details and activity locations across Australia, please visit vkjotajotty.com. For VK1WIA National News, I'm Alec, VK2MV in Sydney.
Thanks, Alec. And on to an activity I know Alec is an active participant in, radio scouting. Girl guides in Sri Lanka got some guidance recently, pardon the pun, from the Radio Society of Sri Lanka, which helped them get on the air. The girl guides were calling as 4S7GGA. Speaking of girl guides, they, along with scouts, will be participating in the International Scouts and Guides Jamboree on the Air, or JOTA, which is just a few weeks away, happening on October 18 to 20. If you're looking for activity ideas for the weekend, check out the Manly Warringah post on their website. A few ideas are build an emergency radio station, introduction to shortwave, see with your ears as well as your eyes, yes, seeing electronic signals with an oscilloscope, Morse code, radio battleships, code breaking, slow scan TV, etc. To give the youngsters a taste of international voice contacts, check on or near the HF calling frequencies, Echolink and IRLP nodes. A full list of all modes, emissions and frequencies can be found in our text edition of WIA National News. Best read at wia.org.au. And that's it for the segment for this week. I'll catch you next week with more. I'm Col, VK3GTV.
2024, as we say, it's a date. This weekend in Perth, it's Perth Tech. And in VK7, Tasmania, November 2 and 3, it's Hobart.
Get ready for the 2024 Tassie Hamicon Amateur Radio Conference on November the 2nd and 3rd, 2024, at the Sir Stanley Burberry Theatre, Sandy Bay Campus of the University of Tasmania. This year's conference theme focuses on cutting-edge innovation and advancement in amateur radio. Our three keynote speakers over the weekend are Dr. Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW, who will share insights on space weather. Dr. Justin Thurley, who is our Tasmanian innovation guru, sharing insights on innovation mechanisms and how they apply to amateur radio. Kristen McIntyre, K6WX, with her thought-provoking presentation titled Ground is a Myth. There are many, many other fascinating presentations, including cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, contesting high power, and much more that we will cover in future broadcasts. And if we've piqued your interest, then take a look at the website on the email edition of this broadcast. While you're there, take a look at our very impressive raffle prize pool that is growing by the day. We are also celebrating 60 years of ICOM, and there are some interesting announcements from the WIA, and we will be hosting a discussion forum with an impressive panel exploring the secrets of energizing ham radio. With innovation at its core, this event is a must-attend for all radio enthusiasts. Book now.
Thanks, Justin. And in VK3 Spark Rosebud Radio Fest, November 17 at Rosebud. Now, till next we meet, I am Graham, VK4, Baker Baker. Walk softly.
From Australia, this has been the Wireless Institute of Australia with the weekly news service. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.